Today on the DML News Podcast, we are going to speak about voting here in the United States and illegal immigration and how the two are coming together to create the perfect storm come November. Get ready. I'm going to give you a lot of data today, the kind that you won't get on the mainstream media, and it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Today I'm going solo. Denny is off on another assignment, and this is one of those times when I think I would be better flying alone because of my vast knowledge and deep history when it comes to illegal immigration into this country. Once in a while, I'd say it's maybe once every quarter, I do a program where I just block out everything else and we talk about the problem we have on our southern border and on our northern border. This is one of those times. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with me, let me give you about a 3-minute synopsis of why it is that I think that you should be listening and sharing everything I have to say today, no matter where you are listening or watching to this program. If you are watching me on Facebook Live, hit the share button now. If you're seeing me on a Facebook video that has already happened, hit the share button now. YouTube, same thing. If you are listening to me on one of the podcast networks, Apple, Google, Spotify, hit the share button. And of course, if you are using the DML News app or the Team DML app, find a way to which you take the video and share it. If you are on Rumble, share it. Here's why. Most people in the United States of America have no idea of what is taking place. Sure, they see the clips now and then, whether they're using Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media, they'll see the 50 guys or 100 guys or even 1,000 guys who are lining up somewhere along the southern border and they're going to come through. Think about this for one moment. If you took a Little League baseball game, and let's say it was a playoff game, and your kid was playing against somebody else's kid, and all the parents seem to show up, it'd be pretty crowded. That is nothing in comparison to how many people are playing baseball around the country, right? It's a small, little, tiny fraction of what's taking place every day. So when you see these little, tiny videos where 100 people are coming through or 1,000 people are coming through, yeah, wow, that's a lot of people. But it doesn't represent what we're seeing on a daily basis. It is only one little cutout of what's happening across 2,000 miles of southern border and what's happening across the northern border up into Canada. It also does not represent how many boats are coming through every single day and dropping people off, whether that drop off is in Southern California or somewhere around the Florida Keys, somewhere in the middle of Florida. Even where I live, which is called Indian River County, we're about halfway up the coast of the eastern side of Florida, and we continue to get boats of Haitians. We're getting them all the time. We just witnessed one not so long ago. My family was out on my boat, and we saw all the water police, all the Coast Guard, all rushing to the inlet. We know what they were going for. There were no boating accidents on that day, by the way. Why does this matter? It matters greatly. People in this country are suffering in a way that, well, the media doesn't show you. Usually when we think of suffering or we think of terrorism, we think of somebody suffering in the sense that they're getting beaten or tortured or they are dying of some deadly disease and they can't get help. When we think of terrorism, we often think of a building exploding or planes crashing into a building. But the rules have changed. They have changed here in the United States of America in a great, great way. No longer does terrorism have to spread its ugliness through capturing an airplane and driving it into the Twin Towers. No longer does suffering mean that you are there shaking with fever. No. Suffering means that you can't financially keep your head above water. no matter how hard you try. Suffering means that your child can't get the educational services that they deserve because money, assets, and resources are being misdirected somewhere else. Your child is coming down with the measles, and you can't understand why. We thought we eradicated this in the United States, did we not? You sit there and you hear about how it is that your neighbor was terrorized one way or another. Maybe she or he, especially if they're little, were raped. Maybe they had their wallet stolen, their Social Security stolen, and all their credit has gone to the garbage. If you don't think that's an act of terror, you're crazy. Wait until you one day are stuck in that situation where you can't open up a bank account or you can't get a loan or you're getting repossessed on. Why? You got a lien against you all of a sudden. Why? Because somebody stole your information. What about if, God forbid, one of your loved ones or you were beaten, were hit in a DWI? Or what about if you were killed? What about if somebody in your family was subject to fentanyl poisoning? They had no idea that there was fentanyl in whatever it is they were touching or taking. We are allowing this country to fall to its knees, and it is happening underneath the Biden administration. Now, it is my contention, my opinion, that the Biden administration is basically Barack Obama 3.0. The first time he was elected into office, it was 1.0. The second time, 2.0. Hillary Clinton would have been 3.0, but Donald Trump sort of saved the day, at least for a time being anyhow. And now we are looking at what basically is 3.0 of Barack Obama's terrorism, as far as I'm concerned, in this country. He has terrorized this country by flipping it upside down and inside out. We no longer know what we're looking at when we look inside the mirror. When we look inside our soul and we see what's happening to our children in our schools and in our playgrounds, how it is that children are being lured into thinking that there's something else, that what they were born into, the skin that they have, the body that they have, is not right for them. It's ridiculous. We have medical professionals who are more than compromising themselves for the fast, easy buck or for the crazy ideology that comes with telling Dennis that he really should be Denise or vice versa. We are crumbling at every single last turn. Our military is depleted. Our military assets have been given away. Our stockpiles are as small as they've ever been. We have every single last foe, be it China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, the cartels of Mexico, no matter who it is, they are circling the wagons around the United States of America. And instead of worrying about that sort of thing, Joe Biden is more concerned that you hoist up the colorful flag used on the visible day of you know what, which was supposed to be Easter. When you look around and you don't recognize your country one day after the next, you have to stop and say, why? Why is this? How is this happening? I would tell you to connect the dots going backward. How many actual video clips or how many news programs have ever really focused in on what's happening with the elections or what's happening at the border? If you do have anybody focusing in on the elections, they're telling you that Donald Trump has been spreading the big, huge lie. They have done everything they possibly can to take people who have been credible for their whole lives and making them sound as if they're discredited because they question whether or not mail-in ballots were handled correctly. They question whether or not something happened nefarious in the middle of the night because servers were actually connected to the internet when they weren't. They've taken filmmakers who have always made very eye-opening films and all of a sudden said that their information was nonsense and it couldn't be confirmed. We've had courts time and again reject the ability to see evidence that would otherwise maybe show that there was nefarious things done on November election day back in 2020 and all the weeks leading up to it with the early voting and mail-in balloting. We have been told we are wrong, we're insane, we're conspiracy theorists, we're just big bad people to think that there could ever be any sort of cheating in this country. Well, look around you. How can we not believe that that could be the case? Think about how every facet of this country makes no sense. For decades upon decades upon decades, We have done all we can to ensure that we had oil reserves. Without oil, this country will fall to its knees. It is a national security interest in order to make sure that we have plenty of reserves. Joe Biden has been selling off our reserves and says that he's not going to replace them because the price of oil is just too expensive. And yet he wants to send hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine. On this show during the week earlier on, we spoke about a story that had come out, I think it was on Fox News, to where Congress was actually looking to take $380 million and give it to Joe Biden so this way he could build the border, but not for the United States, for countries like Jordan. Why in heaven's name are we taking taxpayer money and giving it over to the country of Jordan so this way they can bolster their wall, and yet all we've done is taken our walls down and sell off the parts to which President Trump had in place to build the wall? It makes absolutely no sense. We are no longer teaching our children how to compete. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that has all gone to the wayside. Now it's things like gender studies or CRT. We have teachers who are literally pinning students against each other in their classroom each and every day. None of this makes any sense. None of it at all. We have coming across our borders right now mostly young men who are of a military age. They come alone. They don't have wives. They don't have children. They really don't have real asylum claims, and they'll admit it to you. The first question they ask when they come across the border is, where can I find work? That's not an asylum claim. That's a claim of trying to enrich oneself. And I can't say that I blame any person who's living in the third world, who's maybe making $2 a week, for wanting to come here to the United States and make $20 an hour. That's human nature. But we have laws, we have rules, we have a line. Everybody wants to come to the United States. And we have a very nice process, which I think is in of itself broken in the sense that we take over 1 million people every single year legally. We don't need these people. We don't need them at all, unless, of course, you want to get cheap labor or if you want to get cheap votes. But I go back to the alarming numbers at the border, and we're going to get to those in a second with some detail, especially when it comes to the Chinese nationals who are coming across. We are depleting our military. 65,000 people short. That was the number that was broadcasted for just the Army, the U.S. Army alone. They missed recruitment by 65,000 people. Meanwhile, during C-19, and you know what I'm referring to, that little era of where America lost its mind and told you to lock yourself into your house, don't go to Thanksgiving, don't go to Christmas, and dare you, do not hug somebody you love. During that period of time, we had over 8,000 members of our military be removed from their postings because they would not take something in their arm that was unproven to work. Where are those people today? Why did we get rid of them? It doesn't make any sense, especially when they were the most able-bodied people in the country. I defy you to try to take any professional athlete who can outdo the physical strength and endurance of a real member of the military. These are the strongest, most healthiest people in our country, and yet we were forcing them to take something for no reason. The reason I believe that they were tested in this manner was they want to see, and when I say they, I'm talking about the Pentagon and I'm talking about the White House, they wanted to see who would comply and who would not. Those who would not comply, well, we don't want you anymore. These are very dangerous times, and a lot of the things I'm saying right now probably sounds conspiracy-like. I've never been somebody who's ever engaged or entertained conspiracies. However, every single time you turn around, common sense has been thrown out the window. How should I accept the White House and the CDC and the FDA's message telling me that it is safe, they care about me, that I should wear a mask and social distance, when meanwhile they allow people from the third world, we don't know who they are, We don't know what diseases they carry. We just allow them to come into our country unchecked, unvetted. We have no idea who they are, what they're carrying, or what they're looking to carry out. There is an account on Twitter. I find it very interesting. If you have a Twitter account yourself, now better known as X, I encourage you to follow this account. It's called End Wokeness. And Elon Musk, who has purchased Twitter / X, often retweets what it is this account puts out. I'm going to read something to you here that was just posted in the last 24 hours, and I found it of extreme interest, and I said, why don't we just talk about this for a while? At the very top, it says, holy S-H-I-T, all in caps. It says, the number of voters registering without a photo ID is skyrocketing in three key swing states, Arizona, Texas, and Pennsylvania. It's amazing to me to think that Texas has become a swing state. Since the start of 2024, Texas has added 1.25 million new voters, PA 580,000, and Arizona 220,000. These are allegedly voters registering without a photo identification. HAVV, which also stands for Help America Vote Verification, it is a program run by your federal government. HAVV allows voters to register with a social security number, just four digits, by the way. Illegal aliens are not able to get driver's licenses in those states, but they can get social security cards for work authorization permits. The data, as presented in this social media post that I just read to you, is confirmed by going to ssa.gov/open/HAVV. I will read to you what it is that this site says in part. Social Security Administration, SSA, weekly data for Help America Vote Verification transactions by state, week ending January 13, 2024. And it lists on there each state and the total transactions. Just for this one week, Arizona had 29,000 transactions. And Missouri had 49,000 transactions, Pennsylvania had 29,000 transactions, and Texas had 90,000 transactions, with all the states adding up to almost a quarter of a million. So you say, all right, what's a transaction? Well, let me read to you from the Social Security Agency website, what is HAVA? The Help America Vote Act of 2002 requires states to verify the information of newly registered voters for federal elections. Each state must establish a computerized statewide voter registration list and verify new voter information with the state's Motor Vehicle Administration, the MVA. The states are required to verify the driver's license number against the state MVA database. Only in situations where no driver's license exists should the states verify the last four digits of the new voter registrant's Social Security number. The state submits the last digits of the Social Security number, name, and date of birth to the MVA for verification with the Social Security Administration. In addition, the SSA, Social Security Administration, is required to report whether its records indicate that the registrant is deceased. To ensure the privacy of the Social Security number, HAVA restricted the collection to only the last four digits of the Social Security number. HAVA provides that these last four digits do not constitute a Social Security number. So what is HAVV? HAVV? To comply with the requirements of Section 303 of HAVA, the Social Security Administration developed a new verification system known as the Help America Vote Verification System in August of 2004. States must only submit a request to us for new voters who do not present a valid driver's license during the voter registration process. HAVV verifies the accuracy of the name, date of birth, and last four digits of the Social Security number submitted and sends an indication of whether our records show the individual as deceased. Are all the states using the four-digit system? 43 states currently use HAVV. Although the four-digit HAVV system is designed to track usage by all states and territories, the law does not require all states to use the system. 7 states are not using the four-digit system. 5 states, New Mexico, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, are grandfathered under the Section 7 of the Privacy Act and are permitted to use the 9-digit Social Security number on applications for voter registration. None of these states currently use the 4-digit verification. North Dakota does not require voter registration and also does not use the system. And in addition, neither the territories or the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Guam, America, Sonoma, or the United States Virgin Islands, nor the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C., are using the 4-digit system. What does this data represent? This data represents the results of 4-digit match performed under using our HAVV system. We operate HAVV as required by the HAVA. Please note, address questions about the use of the system may by any particular state of the appropriate voter registration official in that state. Now, with that being said, think about this for one moment. There are states in the United States right now, California and New York being two of them, that allow illegal aliens to go in and get a driver's license. In the state of New York, when a illegal alien, or any person for that matter, goes in to get a driver's license, by default, every person, whether it's me or Joe from Mexico who just came over illegally, every single person is automatically registered in to vote unless you mark the box that you do not want to be opted in, that you want to be opted out. It also requires that you identify yourself as an illegal alien as your status, if that is indeed what you are. But if you don't mark that off, well, then who's to know? So with this being said, we know for certain that these people are being put onto the voter rolls. California, there was a study done based on an election after this sort of program went into place with the driver's licenses. And it was verified that just in one little county alone, one election alone, over 1,000 people who were illegal aliens were permitted to be on those voter rolls. Now, I move forward. If you were Barack Obama and you vowed that you were going to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and those are his words, not mine, what does that actually mean? Now, if I were to say to you, you know, I don't like the way my hair looks, I'm going to go get a haircut, that's not a fundamental transformation of Dennis Michael Lynch. It's just that I'm going to improve the way my hair looks. It's just a little different. The reason why I use that example is because the United States of America absolutely has its problems, a lot of problems. And if you want to fix it, you want to fix a problem, you want to fix our transportation, you want to fix something about our military, you want to fix something about our tax code, you want to fix something about immigration for that matter. You take one of the problem areas or something that you're looking at, and you don't think it's looking right, such as in my case, I was looking at my hair in my example. You just get a new haircut. You just fix the one thing, or you attempt to maybe fix two things. What you don't do is a fundamental transformation. Think about that for a moment. If I said to you, I don't like the way my hair looks, I am going to fundamentally change. And tomorrow I came wearing a skirt and a bra and got myself fake implants, put lipstick on, shade, some rouge, some eyeliner, and pinked my hair out, just simply because I didn't like the way my hair looked the day before, that is a fundamental change. I no longer was Dennis with a bad haircut who had to improve it. I've now become Denise, who is completely unrecognizable. That is what Barack Obama knew he had to do to the United States of America. To fundamentally transform a country, you have to change everything about it. Now, I remember going back a while ago, I was on Fox News with Megyn Kelly. And when we were talking about Barack insane Obama's fundamentally transformation comment, she said he was referring more or less to things like Obamacare. And I told her she was flat dead wrong. Obamacare, as horrifying as it is at the end of the day an insurance policy. You are not going to transform a country because of an insurance policy. You may destroy the healthcare industry. You may raid people's wallets in a way that is unfair and unjust and unjustified, but it does not transform a country. When you open the borders to the United States of America and you let everything and everyone in, unvetted, unchecked, you are slowly but surely changing everything that this country was built on. The number one job of the president is to keep Americans safe. It's the number one thing. If you allow the borders to be open and you allow weapons to come through, if you allow fentanyl to come through, if you allow terrorists and gang members and people who are sick and people with criminal histories to come into your country and then go use your hospitals and then go raid your schools and then go take jobs away from Americans, to put people into sex slavery, to put people into harm's way through drugs, you are changing the nation. You are changing it fundamentally. And all of us are seeing the fundamental changes in our own neighborhoods, in our own counties, states, regions, and country. So you say, how is this happening? How is this happening? I'll tell you how it's happening. It's happening right in front of you, but nobody is showing you. You can't see the real fundamental change by seeing a video or two on social media of 100 guys crossing the border. As I'm speaking to you, the total time of this video will probably be about 30 to 40 minutes. While that is happening, while you are watching this, thousands of people will cross into this country illegally. Now, Barack Obama and the left, and now Joe Biden, figured out the best way of how to do this. They've gone through asylum claims. Because if you are an illegal alien and you just escape into this country, if you can outrun the Border Patrol, and I have seen that happen time and again through the four different films that I have made on illegal immigration, you just had to outrun the Border Patrol. And if you outran the Border Patrol, you basically just had to figure out where to go, get a job, get paid underneath the table, or get a valid identification number. A valid identification number that even though you were legally in the country, you were now legally able to work. You were able to get a bank account. You were able to take money and wire it out of this country and send it back home as often and as much as you like. Who's going to stop you? The banks? There are trillions of dollars sent out of this country to third world nations all year long. The billions and billions and billions equal up to trillions over a course of time. Think about you going up to an ATM machine. You want to take out $100. If that ATM machine isn't your home bank, I'll just use a random one. Let's say, for instance, I bank at Chase, but I go to a Bank of America because it's across the street and I withdraw $100. The first thing I have to do is that I have to agree to pay the $3, $4, $5 fee. I'm basically paying 3 to 5%, depending on where I am and what ATM machine I'm at, to withdraw my own money. Now, take that by the trillions and figure 3, 4, 5%. That's how much the banks are getting for illegal aliens taking money from our pockets and sending it back home. The banks are making a fortune. They don't want this to stop. They need this to continue. They are also culprits in this whole entire shenanigans. So I go back to Barack Obama wanting to fundamentally transform the country through asylum claims. Because now what happens is that the person doesn't have to work under the radar screen. They could actually come in. They could go for an asylum claim. They could get legal documentation. And they can start to work with no problems or no risk of deportation at all whatsoever. That also puts them right in line for the potential to vote. Look at the numbers I just read to you from the Social Security Agency itself. It is mind-boggling how it is that this is being allowed to happen. Joe Biden and his policies, which basically are an extension of Barack Obama, are not in line with traditional America. Now, when I say traditional America, what do I mean? I mean the tradition of America that family is important. God is critical. Look at the money that we're talking about being pushed out of this country. On any dollar bill, no matter its level, $100, $5, a dollar, it says right on top, in God we trust. If you had to go to a court tomorrow and you had to give your testimony, the first thing you're going to do is put your hand on top of the Bible, put your right hand to the air, and say that you do swear to the Almighty God that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This country was built on the principles of God-fearing men and women. But that has all gone to the wayside. God has been pushed out of our daily routine. No longer do we care about the rule of law. No longer do we care about the principles of which this country has always operated on. And that's why it is slowly but surely crumbling in front of you. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, all the crazy lefties all realize that the number one way of fundamentally destroying this country is by destroying the fabric to which it was wrapped around, to break apart the foundation to which it was built upon, to make people like you and I feel like we're criminal for thinking that something may be going wrong in our elections. Think about every single last aspect of American life right now. As I said before, go deeper. You're paying three times the amount you should be for gasoline or that you were under Donald Trump. How much money are you paying for eggs? How much money are you paying for chicken? How much money are you paying in property taxes? How much are you paying for insurance? How much are you paying for tuition if you send your child to school or to a college? Nothing makes sense. How often are you last in line because a foreigner who doesn't speak English is in front of you, let's say in the emergency room? None of this makes sense. We are now giving homes. We are giving hotels, we are giving schools over to illegal aliens. So this way, the betterment of life is put into their hands. Meanwhile, we have our own American citizens, many of them veterans, many of them children, many of them women, who are living on the streets. When was the last time you saw the federal government do anything, anything at all, with any sort of significance to try to help the homeless in this country? But they go far out of their way to help the illegal aliens. It has become so upside down, so inside out, that it is clear to see that the fundamental transformation has started, is in full swing, and may actually be the end of the country as we know it. Joe Biden's policies are not helpful to anyone other than the illegal aliens in this country. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter who you pray to. If you have a job and you pay taxes, you are part of this country's operations. If I hand you a $100 bill and I say, this is yours, you worked for it, see you later, it is up to you where to spend that $100. I'm not going to dictate that. I can't. I shouldn't. You shouldn't listen to me. But when it comes to your tax money, none of it seems to matter when you or I or anybody else complains about where that money is going. The federal government says, we don't want to hear what you have to say. We're sending it here. We're sending it there. We're not going to do what is best for our country or best for you, the taxpayer. We're going to do what's best for us. And that's why we are in so much trouble. Joe Biden is one of, if not the most unpopular president of all time. Rightfully so. You have less money in your pocket today because of him. You're paying higher interest rates today because of him. You are struggling because of him. You're probably draining your savings as you're sitting here and listening to me. And yet, Joe Biden and the Democrats feel very comfortable that they're going to be able to win the next election. In fact, Joe Biden and his team believe that they are going to be able to flip the state of Florida. The state of Florida, by and large, the most conservative state in the nation, my home state, with the most conservative governor in the nation, Ron DeSantis, who won by more than 20 points in his last election. How would Joe Biden and the Democrats even think for a moment they have a chance here? Straight up, they wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell in Florida. But we're not playing straight up, are we? Look at the numbers I've just read to you so far for 2024 that come straight from the Social Security Administration's website. They are telling us the score. And the score is that with the millions of people that are coming across the border every single year under Joe Biden, we now have to worry about whether or not these people are going to vote. Now, if you were an illegal alien and you were in the United States of America and somehow, some way, you felt as if you had a voice and that you could share your voice maybe through a vote or a mail-in ballot, who would you opt for? The guy who says he's going to have mass deportation squads or the guy who's trying to give you amnesty? Are you going to want to get in line to vote for the man who says America first or the guy who seems to want to give away all of America's money to foreign nations? I think if you were smart, you would want to vote for the guy who's going to give you everything. And therefore, you would vote for Joe Biden. There are no shortage of clips on the internet, especially Twitter, where independent reporters are going up to illegal aliens and asking them if they like Joe Biden. I have yet to see one video where the illegal alien coming across the border says no. I have not seen one video yet where an illegal alien says Trump 2024, but I have seen my share of Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Barack Obama. We are not playing in a fair game. And if people don't recognize that, they're either dumb or they are corrupt. One or the other. We have another threat. And it is pointed out by a gentleman named Bill Malugin. Bill Malugin is a reporter for Fox News. Now, automatically, you say something like that, and of course, the left is going to say, oh, yeah, Fox News. Well, Bill Malugin isn't some opinionist. Bill Malugin is actually a reporter who uses data and uses interviews with officials to give you the information that you need to know. I am going to read to you from Bill Malugin's page on Twitter just some of the things that he has posted in the last 24 hours. This is 43 minutes ago. Per CBP, which is Customs Border and Protection, 182 Chinese nationals were apprehended by Border Patrol after crossing illegally into San Diego yesterday. 182. There have been more than 22,000 Chinese nationals caught by Border Patrol since October 1. Reminder, this is apprehended, doesn't mean deported. most people who are apprehended are not deported. Border Patrol arrests of Chinese nationals who crossed the United States border illegally over recent years. During President Trump, in fiscal year 2021, a total of 342, less than one a day. Fiscal year 2022, 1,987. And then comes Biden. Fiscal year 23, we had 24,125. Fiscal year 24, we had 22,200. The combination of 50,000. That is a 6,300% increase since fiscal year 21. Now, you can access this data by using the CBP portal, which is basically the federal government. In the same way that you could get the data from the SSA that I read earlier, you can get these apprehensions from the federal government. It is getting insane. This is one day ago. ICE, out of Boston, arrested a Dominican man wanted for murder in the Dominican Republic who fled to the United States in 2021 when he crossed illegally as a gotaway. Now remember, these numbers that we're giving you, these are people who were apprehended. Either they turned themselves over or they were caught. Gotaways aren't caught. They're not accounted for. So whatever number I read to you, realize that it's at least 50% higher than that, if not double. I repeat, ICE, Boston, arrested a Dominican man wanted for murder in the Dominican Republic who fled to the United States in 2021 when he crossed illegally as a gotaway, then went on to be arrested for local crimes in Massachusetts, including fentanyl trafficking and strangulation. ICE arrested him near his home on 3/21. This unlawfully present Dominican national fled his home country to avoid a murder trial, said ICE Boston Field Office Director Todd Lyons. He made his way to Massachusetts and has been repeatedly apprehended by local authorities and charged with crimes of violence and drug crimes. ERO Boston will not allow the world's offenders to take refuge in our communities. That's what they say in Boston in terms of ICE. But the politicians in Massachusetts do everything they possibly can to keep these people in society. And that's because Massachusetts, like New York, like Illinois, like Pennsylvania, like California, like Oregon, like the state of Washington, like the state of New Mexico, are radical. Radical lefties who are putting you and your family in grave danger. Grave danger. So what do we do? What do we do? There is only one way to solve this problem. Only one way. It starts with electing Donald J. Trump in November. But then, and I don't care how much you love Donald J. Trump or how much you despise him, if Donald J. Trump does not do the right things, if he does not make the right moves, this problem is only going to be temporarily stopped, as it was the first time he was in office. There are ways to stop this once and for all. I am going to mention some of them now. If I were the president of the United States, here is what I would do. First and foremost, if the country of Mexico does not work with us 110% in the way in which we need them to work, this problem will never stop. Mexico right now is incentivized to have illegal immigration take place. Why? The reasons are many. I'll give you just a few. Number one, the drug cartels make a gargantuan multi-billion dollar profit every single year by means of collecting from these migrants to give them passage into the United States. Even if they're ultimately going to hand themselves over to the Border Patrol, they have to pay the toll, and the toll goes to the cartel. Second, those who do not want to be apprehended and do not want to turn themselves over, usually the hardened criminals and the terrorists, will pay extreme dollar amounts, many times over six figures, that's over $100,000, to the cartels for guaranteed entry and safe passage to somewhere USA. The politicians in Mexico do not want to have their head on a platter, and that's what it will be, is if they comply with the United States at any level to stop illegal immigration. Number two, the Mexican government and various different governments in the Latin American region make a fortune from the United States giving money over to them. The federal government giving aid to these countries, which is disguised as ways in which to help bolster the economy and bolster the safety of these nations, so this way people don't want to flee. But I defy you. Go find how any of the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that we've sent to these nations have ever helped one iota. They have done nothing. Nobody is ever measuring or accounting for the money wasted. It is useless. So, the first two things that I would do. Number one, I would cut off all aid to these nations. Stop sending our money. The only way that you will get any money is if you do indeed stop the illegal immigration into the United States by keeping people from leaving your own borders. Mexico should build its own wall of the southern part of Mexico. That would be a starter. We'd actually pay for it if you'd like. We'd also like to put U.S. troops in what would be a zone, a neutral zone. We can rent that property from Mexico. If the Mexican government and the Mexican military can't do it, let the United States do it. We will pay you a deep, deep, deep dollar amount to allow us to patrol that area, not allowing anybody to come through. This would be the cheapest, easiest, quickest way to shut down any passage from South Mexico for migrants coming through. Next, if the Mexican government does not want to comply because they can't comply because they're afraid of actually being taken out by the cartel themselves, well, then there's an easier way of doing this. The United States shall put 20% tariffs on every single export from Mexico into the United States. We will drain them of any economic opportunity they have being a trade partner with us. Immediately, that would make the cartels understand that no matter how hard the government works hand in hand with them, meaning the Mexican government, it won't account for anything. And so the cartels will go back to just trafficking drugs versus trafficking people or smuggling people. Those steps right there would make massive, and I mean massive, inroads into stopping this crap, whether there was asylum on the books or no asylum on the books. And then, of course, we'd have to do things here at home, like change the asylum laws. Not an easy thing to do because the Democrats don't want that to be done. So what we would have to do is we would have to start enforcing the laws. And the laws would be simple. If you do not have the ability to work in this country, and I'm telling you the majority of illegal aliens will not have Social Security cards or identification numbers or any legal documents, we must deport them. And in addition, we have to go after the source. The source in this particular case is any person who employs an illegal alien. If you go up to any person who has a business in the United States and you tell them that if they continue to hire an illegal alien, they are going to jail, I guarantee you they will stop. If they don't, and you actually put them into jail, well, then they can't hire them anymore from behind bars, can they? There are easy, simple ways in which to stop the flow of people into this country, and very easy to get them to leave. Once these illegal aliens that are here now believe that their money will be confiscated and their work opportunities will be crushed, they will go home. They will go home. Trust me, they will go home. When President Trump was looking to be president for the first time in 2015, he was going around the country making very, very hawkish-like statements about illegal immigration. He promised deportation squads. He promised to build a wall. He promised to end DACA. He promised a lot of things. Most of it never happened. Some of it at his own fault. Most of it at his own party's fault. A huge part of it because of the radical Democrats and radical courts. Hopefully Donald Trump doesn't make those same mistakes again. Mandatory E-Verify across the country would be more than helpful. It would be required for everybody to do the same thing they must do on April 15th. You must submit a tax return on April 15th, or else you're going to have yourself a problem. The same should happen with employment. You are going to use our E-Verify system. And if we flag you in the same way as we flag you because we can tell that you're cheating on your taxes, if we flag you as somebody who is cheating on their employment makes, meaning you're making employment moves for illegal aliens to work for you, we are going to shut you down. We are going to imprison you. We're going to fine you. We are going to fight fire with fire because ultimately people hire illegal aliens for the sake of greed. They get cheap labor. So we fight fire with fire by going after that greed. We will confiscate your business. We will not allow you to make money if you're going to hire illegal alien workers. All you're doing is hurting the American worker by doing that. You're lowering wages, you're keeping people on the sidelines, and you're putting people in harm's way for the sake of a buck. That is unacceptable in the United States of America under a real presidency. The other thing that President Trump can do immediately is President Trump has the right to make a declaration to where he can turn off immigration from any region, any country, any demographic that he wishes. All he has to do is show that there is a national security threat. I can't think of any rational human being, let alone the people on the Supreme Court, who would not look at our country's status right now and not see that there is a national security threat, not just from the things I talked about earlier, with such as selling off our oil reserves or having a depleted Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, but simply by leaving our borders open. Do not forget that what happened on September 9th was an act of illegal immigration. The terrorists who flew those planes into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon, and into a grassy field in Pennsylvania lied on their applications for visas. They lied. That is immigration fraud. That is illegal immigration. President Trump right now, if he were in office, would be able to say, I am stopping all immigration into the United States of America for national security reasons because we do not have the ample personnel or the ample vetting systems in place today to ensure the safety of our citizens, to ensure the health of our citizens, to ensure the employment of our citizens. Never forget this. People often talk about the Statue of Liberty, which sits in New York Harbor. It sits a couple of miles off of Manhattan Island. It sits right next to where all the people from Europe used to have to come over. It's called Ellis Island. Ellis Island served two purposes. Number one, it was a quarantine station. If you came in to this country via ship and you came in and you were sick, if you were carrying something like tuberculosis or measles or whooping cough or anything else that was back in those days, You were kept in isolation in Ellis Island, and then you had a choice. Either you went back on the ship alone and your family could stay, or you went back on the ship with your family. That's what your choices were. You did not have the choice of entering the United States. We did not want communicable diseases coming into the United States, and that's one reason why that Ellis Island was set off shore and not on shore. Secondly, Ellis Island, in order to get up to the main building, you have to walk up a huge flight of stairs. And in its own way, it was sort of like a physical fitness test. If you couldn't get up those stairs, you certainly wouldn't be able to come here to work. And that was another reason to why you were rejected. At the end of the day, families were turned around. Didn't matter how much money they spent. We were protecting American citizens. And I should note that back in those days, immigration was carried out by the Labor Department. The reason being is because the United States government wanted to protect American workers against unfair foreign competition. We just heard about how California is now raising its minimum wage to $20 an hour for fast food workers. I can tell you that that will become unsustainable for the fast food industry. You will start to see, mark my word, that these fast food restaurants will either go out of business or they will pull out of California. They just cannot sustain that dollar amount. So why do we have to do that to begin with? The reason being is this. It is so hard to find jobs out there today, especially first-line jobs, entry-level jobs, because so many of them are being taken by illegal aliens. It is impossible to compete with these people. We have illegal aliens who are making more than the average American citizen. That is not a fabrication. If you go onto the Long Island Expressway and you travel going east away from the city of Manhattan, and you take yourself all the way out to what's called the Hamptons, Southampton, West Hampton, East Hampton. It's a very affluent area, maybe the biggest affluence per square mile that there is in the country. Most of the people who have the mega mansions out there are the elitists, the bankers, the big lawyers, the big doctors, even the big politicians, the athletes, the celebrities who all use Manhattan as their home during the winter. And then in the summer, they've got their summer houses out there. They love using illegal alien workers. They love it. If you go to try to pick up an illegal alien standing on the corner who's soliciting themselves for work, and you ask them how much, they will tell you $30 an hour cash plus lunch, and they're only working 8 hours. This is what is being offered to the illegal alien out on Long Island. I defy you to go and find people who don't have college degrees, maybe even who have college degrees, who are out there working every single day for $30 cash per hour. I defy you. We have illegal aliens making more money than American citizens. And those illegal aliens, if they do wind up having a child, get everything for free, including their food. I can't tell you how many times when we used to live out there that we would be food shopping and in front of us would be a mother filled with a basket of food, the other basket filled of children, none of them speaking a lick of English. It come time to pay for all those Twinkies and soda pop and all the other different crap, and the mother would rip out an EDB card. I visualize it right now. It makes me sick to my stomach. We used to call them food stamps. They used to be for Americans. So after she gets her free food and only pays a couple of dollars for what would be hundreds of dollars in a basket, you follow her outside, and I'm not kidding you. I have seen this happen time and time again. The brand new Ford Explorer, maybe 2 years old, maybe 3 years old, but the brand new shiny Ford Explorer gets opened up by a woman who can't speak a lick of English. Her children all get thrown into the car along with the packages, and she just drives away. guaranteed no car insurance, guaranteed no driver's license. And it's allowed to happen each and every day without any enforcement whatsoever. There's only one way to stop the problem in this country when it comes to voting. You need voter ID. You need a double identification. You need to do voting on one day and one day only. The only people who should be able to vote through a ballot are those in our military who are serving overseas. There shall be no excuse on election day. Shut down the schools, shut down work, only leave the most essential businesses open. Allow every employee working at those essential businesses to have at least an hour or two to go to vote. That is the way it has to be done. Any other way, there is going to be shenanigans. And as far as illegal immigration, I just explained to you just a few bullet points on how we can solve the problem. It will take a whole lot more than what I identified and laid out. We have to stop the influx of over a million people coming into this country every single year simply because of who they're related to through chained migration. We've got to stop allowing so many foreign exchange students or foreign visa students to come into this country. But that isn't at the top of the list. I've already announced the top of the list. And if it was followed, if it was followed with the sort of passion that we see our voted leaders give when they're rooting for some stupid, off-the-wall nonsense sort of policy, like ensuring that people use the right pronouns, if we saw a real passion and a real will to get it done, we would fix this country and save it before it falls into the abyss. If you agree with what I have to say, I ask you please to share this. I ask you to download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for free. And if you want to join Team DML, you could do so by going to teamdml.com or by using the DML News app, tab 5, interact tab, and just hit Team DML memberships. It's how it is that our family here can stay in business. And I conclude by saying, you know, often a person like me speaks about how to stop the flow of illegal immigration, and immediately I'm called a racist. Let me be the first one to tell you that I don't care who's coming in the next caravan. My descent is Irish, German, and Italian. I would have the same will to stop a caravan of illegal Irishmen from coming into this country as I would a caravan from El Salvador, for that matter. I would have the same sort of disgust if I saw 1,000 Italians coming across the border as I do when I see 1,000 people from Yemen. I would be screaming at the top of my lungs if I saw 1,000 German men coming through the border as I do when I see 1,000 Iraqis. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with color. It has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with the rule of law and how it is that we keep America alive. That's it for me. I appreciate your time today. God willing, we'll be back with you again tomorrow. Thank you so much. Stay well. God bless America.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.